Hey, listeners. Welcome to the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford. Before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to remind you that you can get the show notes for this episode and every other episode at learntocodewith.me/podcast. And if you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe on whichever podcast player you listen on. And if you're feeling particularly generous, a review would be awesome too. Here's a quick word from our sponsors who help make the show possible. Want to transition from dead-end job to dream job? FullStack Academy is one of the nation's top coding boot camps with the curriculum, the career guidance, and most importantly, the community support to get you from where you are to where you want to be. FullStack Academy, everything you need to land your dream job in tech. Check them out at fullstackacademy.com. Flatiron School's online web developer program focuses on community, actual development tools, and features a curriculum that will teach you the skills you need to land a career as a software engineer. Get $500 off your first month by visiting flatironbootcampprep.com. In today's episode, I talk with Elvis Shadera, an Android developer at DotLearn. We talk about how he taught himself to code using a Nokia phone, how he got his first freelancing clients, and his favorite free tools for learning to code. Just a heads up, we had a few connection issues during our interview, so the audio quality isn't the best. But Elvis has such an inspiring story, it's definitely worth giving this one a listen. Enjoy. Elvis Shadera is a software developer who grew up in a rural part of Nigeria and taught himself how to code on a Nokia phone. Today, at the age of 19, he is an Android developer at DotLearn, an MIT startup that builds educational apps for students in emerging markets like Africa. He has also worked on over 50 apps, which collectively have millions of downloads from the Google Play Store. Hi, Elvis. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
There's so many things I want to get into, but first, you're 19 years old, as I just said, and I think you're one of the youngest guests that I've had on the show to date, so I'm really excited about that. And with like your young age in mind, I wanted to know, how old were you when you first got introduced to computers or coding and things like that?
Okay, I started programming when I was 11. That was when I was just curious about how websites were built. So I spent a lot of time online trying to download games and things like that. So one day I was just like, how these magical things built that you type in www.google.com and it just comes up. So I started doing some research on Google, and that was basically how I started when I was 11, still in school.
Awesome. So was that on a computer or was that on this Nokia phone that you first learned on?
Yeah, that was on the Nokia phone. So it was a small feature phone, Nokia 2690.
Wow, that's like really, really impressive that with just, you know, a Nokia phone, you began Googling and learning how to code and how to build websites and things like that. I'm sort of jumping ahead a little bit because I'm just assuming you learned how to build websites right away. But was that what you learned right away? Like, do you remember what one of the first things you learned was?
Yeah, I do. So I did start developing websites. So like I said, I was curious about how websites were built. So I did the normal thing, which is to like Google search how to build a website. So that brought up some tutorials, and the basic thing was that I need to learn HTML, CSS, then JavaScript. Luckily, there's still a site called WTrade Schools, which I used to learn HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. That was still on that phone. So I learned that. I was able to build some apps, some websites using that same phone, and I moved over to mobile app development.
Ooh, so you were building websites initially on your phone?
Yes. So during that time, I watched this social network movie, and then I tried to recreate a social network I thought back then was going to be the Facebook killer. That was the big project I worked on back then. So a lot of time trying to build a social network that has this feature that has back then you couldn't see your friends that were online on Facebook. So I did that. And a few other random stuff I just added to the sites.
So I guess without going into like tons of detail, if it's possible, could you explain how someone can build a website on their phone? Like, I honestly have no idea how to even go about that. I'm just really interested because I have spoken to a few people in the past who have done a lot, like from their mobile phone, as far as like learning how to code and building things. But yeah, like I'm sure there's other listeners like myself who wouldn't even know like where to begin if they were trying to build a website using their phone.
So what I did back then was to use. When working with HTML or CSS, unlike compiled languages, all you just need is a notepad app. So I did look for a notepad app on that phone, downloaded it. It had it didn't have syntax highlighting or other fancy features, but it just has it had line numbers. So I will type in the HTML code there. After writing everything, I was able to test the files locally. So after I'm done, I just save it to my phone and then you try to use a browser to load them up. But for the PHP part, I just end up after writing. So it's just impossible for you to run it on your phone back then. So all you have to do is to upload to your server and then test. And if anything doesn't work, you just have to go back and revert. So it was very, very terrible. But I, like, there are certain times when there's no idea, you're typing. Sometimes you mix things like semicolons, some other random stuff, and you end up pushing the server several times and before you actually get something that's working. So it was really, really terrible and very difficult for me. But I think one of the reasons that didn't matter to me because I really enjoyed programming.
Wow, that's amazing. So it sounds like at least with the HTML and the CSS and the JavaScript, you were able to save those files locally using like a notepad app on your phone and then just open them in the browser. But then there were more steps involved when you were trying to do like PHP on your phone. You had to upload that then to a server.
Yes. So you have to, there's no local host or there's no server. I don't think there's any app to do that. So you have to upload to your backend or use some of this online ID on.com. So that one was basically for when I just have like light PHP script, I could just easily go there to check if it compiles before pushing it to the server. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's amazing that that's how you began learning. You were only 11 years old and you were able to like figure this out all on your own.
Yes. So I grew up, I'll say I was curious about, I spent a lot of time trying to learn that. So it took several months for me to get to a comfortable stage and say, okay, I can do all these things. And so it was very difficult, but I just had to spend several months learning how to do something like that. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, kudos to you, because I can't imagine, at least myself as an 11-year-old, being able to stay focused on like that for so long. I feel like I was kind of all over the place when I was younger. But yeah, that's really great. So, okay, so you were 11 years old. You began learning how to build websites. You were doing this on your phone. And then, of course, today, what you're primarily doing is Android development. So what was like the bridge between building these websites on your phone and then getting into Android app development? Like, kind of, what led you from like one to the next thing?
Okay, so after working on websites, I also went on to develop Java, that J2Me apps. That's app, not really the Java standard edition. It's called Java Micro Edition. That's for the smaller phones. So I was able to do that also with my phone. So luckily, those developer that's developed an SDK for to build Java apps using your phone. So it was free. And I can't remember how I got I was able to get the software, but I was able to download it on my phone, and then I started learning Java. So I was also able to build some apps using my phone. I worked on an app called SMS Messenger, so it allowed people to send group messages to at a very, very reduced rate compared to the normal thing you get from the telcos. So I worked on that, and after I was able to finally get a laptop, I then switched to Android, because it was obviously the next thing. J2Me, it's kind of a dead end. There's still some people using it, but it's not. Android was the next thing. So it's learning Android. So Android and J2Me are both use the Java language. So it was very easy for me to switch from J2Me to Android. There's some API differences and all that, but it's just Java. So I just quickly moved to Android after getting my first laptop. Yeah.
Awesome. So during this time, okay, so you started when you were 11, and I'm imagining, you know, you're getting older. Were you in middle school or high school, or I don't know, like how the education system works in Nigeria, but I'm imagining you were in school this entire time.
Yes, I was. So it's not called middle school. I'll say, okay, it's there's junior secondary and there's this senior secondary. I think it's, if I'm to relate, senior secondary would be like, I think high school 9 to 12 or something. But I was in junior, which should be like, I don't really know how to tap it, but it's quite different, the terms used to, what they're called over here, I think.
Yeah. So, when you were in school and you were doing all this, did other kids, like, did your classmates know what you were doing, like, outside of school? Did your teachers know? Did your parents know? Or was this kind of something you were doing, like, very isolated? Or were you doing it with other people or in school or, I don't know, with your friends or parents or what have you?
Yes, I started with two friends. Unfortunately, they couldn't with the struggle of programming on their phones, so they left me alone. My parents were aware, a few teachers were aware, but it was basically just a solo journey, because I don't think there was anybody that could keep up with that much. So it's like programming is difficult, and you just have all these other difficult things you still have to do because you don't have a laptop. Yeah.
Okay. So you were doing this all by yourself, which is even, you know, more impressive, in my opinion, that you were, you know, at this young age and you're going at this alone. How did you, like, stay motivated to keep continuing and to keep learning more? And, you know, when you were done learning how to build websites, to then learn Android development, what was motivating you this whole time?
Okay. I would say, so I just have this, I don't know, I just have this thing that, so I want to do something, and even if it's going to take me a year, 2 years to do it, I'm going to do it. So I just feel when I say I'm going to do something, I find a way to do it, no matter how long it takes me. So that was the same, I think that was the same belief I applied there. So despite all the challenges, I knew that, okay, I'm going to be able to build at the end of the day. I just had this hope and belief. I don't really know the source.
All right. So you then got a laptop, which is awesome. And that was what was it like moving from working on your phone to then building on your laptop?
It was awesome. Totally different experience. So I was programming on my phone for several years. I think for like three, four years until I was finally able to raise money to get that laptop. So it was just totally different. Despite I didn't have much experience operating computers, because I only had limited exposure to them. That was at CyberCaps. I didn't have any personal one or anyone around me. I didn't get to use, but when I got it, it was just lots of the challenges or all the manual work, all the difficult tasks, I was just able to easily run my code on my laptop, install XAMPP or something to run a local server on your system and to push to the server every time to check if something is not working. Something is working, something is not working. So I was able to simplify my the programming process for me.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing. I can only imagine going from one to the other. It must be like night and day.
Night. Yeah.
So one of the stats that I mentioned in the beginning is that you have 50 apps in the Google Play Store, which is a ton, for especially for being 19 years old. So were these all apps you built on your own, or were some of these kind of like a group project, or you did them with other people?
Yes, I worked on about I worked on about 30 something, but others were just group projects. So I spent a lot of time freelancing. That was for like 2 years or so. So I was literally like a gun for hire, 100 app available to help you just build it. So I worked with several people and helped them to launch their app on Play Store. That was how I was able to get to that number. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize you were freelancing and building Android apps for clients. That's really awesome. So how old were you when you started doing that?
I was 16.
Wow. And were you using a website like Upwork or something like that to find clients?
No, it was difficult for me to get, I think back then it wasn't called Upwork. It was still Elance and Odex before they merged to form Upwork. But it was difficult to get clients on or get any freelance job on those websites because, so there's the code start problem. So if you come on those platforms, you need ratings for people to actually give you a job. But for you to get that ratings, you also need a job. But people won't give you a job if you don't have ratings. So it was just kind of dicey. So I ended up just looking for clients around Nigeria. Yeah. So one thing I did was to just try to release a new app like every week and then showcase it to people around and say, hey, look at what I built. Over time, I started getting clients from Nigeria, and then when I work on their projects, they refer me to other people, and that was how I got my hands filled up with some projects. Yeah.
We're taking a quick break from this interview to hear a word from our sponsors who help make the Learn to Code with Me podcast a reality. Fullstack Academy is a leading coding bootcamp that helps students become great software developers and get jobs at top-tier companies. Fullstack's Advanced Software Engineering Immersive course gives you the skills you need to launch your dream career in tech. With a cutting-edge curriculum and supportive educational environment, Fullstack has helped graduates get jobs at companies like Google, Amazon, and Facebook, along with many others. Fullstack Software Engineering Immersive is taught on campus in New York City and Chicago and is accessible from everywhere through Fullstack's Remote Immersive. Go to fullstackacademy.com to learn more. Fullstack Academy, making great people into great developers. Flatiron School's online web developer program, community-powered bootcamp, and free bootcamp prep courses are perfect for anyone interested in a career change and becoming a developer. Flatiron students come from a range of backgrounds, from financial to creative. What they all have in common is the passion, grit, and determination to learn to love code. Flatiron's rigorous 800-plus hour curriculum will teach you the skills you need to land a fulfilling career as a software engineer. Learn to Code with Me listeners can get an awesome $500 off their first month to get started on that career change. Just visit flatironbootcampprep.com. One online Flatiron student said he'd learn more in a couple of days with Flatiron than a year of computer science classes. If you're interested in learning how to think like a real developer while using tools actual developers use, check out Flatiron's online web developer program at flatironbootcampprep.com and claim your $500 discount. Oh, okay. That's awesome. So you pretty much got clients through word of mouth. So you made, you said you were making like one app a week or something, and then you're showcasing it to other folks, and then they were hiring you for their projects, and then when you were done, they would maybe refer you to someone else, and then you ended up, it was kind of like, you just were able to like land more and more clients through this like machine that you had that was kind of like serving itself, and they would refer you and you get more and da da da. So that's really cool. So how long were you freelancing for?
I was doing that for two years. I started 2015 and then I stopped 2017 when I got a full-time job.
Got it. So, okay, you were doing that for 2 years. And I wanted to ask this question before, but I think it slipped my mind. When you were learning specifically Android development, what were you learning it, most of it, like on your own? I'm going to just assume the answer is yes, because it doesn't sound like you were learning that academically like in school. But when you were learning Android development, was most of it through like trial and error, or were you also doing like courses or books and learning from like materials like that?
Oh, I was learning from tutorials and courses. So I used Udacity. They had some free Android. They have some free Android courses, and then I also other tutorials online, and there were a few books that you just learn a little, practice, try to build something using what you've learned, and then go back, learn more, implement. So that was basically it. I prefer to learn by doing rather than just reading one book in one go. I prefer to read, practice, something like that. So that was how I learned how to build Android apps. Yeah.
Okay, nice. So you were freelancing for 2 years. You were getting these clients through word of mouth and recommendations, and you ended up building like 50 apps or over 50 apps for the Google Play Store, and you stopped freelancing when you got your full-time job, right?
Yes.
Okay, and that is where you work today, .learn?
No, that was a difference. I had this client I worked with, and he was impressed with what I did. So I was staying in a different part of Nigeria, and he was staying in Lagos. Lagos is like this, it's the San Francisco of Nigeria. So it's where all the tech stuff happens. All the big tech companies are here, Andela, Conga, and the rest. So he invited we have this vacancy, and you from what you've done, you're a good fit, come. It was on a Saturday, I can remember, like, we need you by Monday, and I just had to book a flight, and it was unexpected. So we just finished this project, and he just invited me over for that.
So you ended up doing work for this client, and then he wanted to hire you full-time. So did you,
yes.
So you moved, did you, sorry, you cut out a bit during, but did you move to Lagos, or was that where you were already living?
No, I was staying in Port Harcourt, so I had to move over to Lagos. And yeah, so what we were working on at the previous place was, we were creating educational content. It's called Whiz It Up. So we create educational content for children. I was helping them to build apps for that before I moved over to .learn. Yeah.
Got it. So, okay. So you relocated, you began working at this company, and now you don't work there any longer. You work at .learn, which is an MIT startup. Could you explain a bit about .learn and what they do? And also, could you explain how you ended up getting introduced to .learn and started working there?
Okay, so I was going through my news feed and I saw job advert. So I decided to apply after a while of debating whether I was qualified or not. I applied and eventually got in. And so basically, .learn, what we're trying to do is to make online education accessible and affordable to people in the emerging market. So unlike the developed world, internet is still not as fast or as cheap. So things like Khan Academy, Udacity, or all these online resources that people could learn and develop self, they don't have access to all that because either the internet is too slow or the internet is expensive. So what we're trying to do is to make the size of these videos smaller so that people can easily just download those videos for the cost of sending a single text message. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And how did you first get, like, introduced that company? Oh, I'm sorry. You said you saw something on Facebook, like a job advertisement.
Yes.
Okay, so you saw it on, like, your Facebook newsfeed and you applied and you got the job right away? Or how did that happen?
Oh, I didn't. So it was in a Facebook group. So it's a tech group for people in Nigeria. Yeah. So saw the post, applied, and it took a few weeks. So we went from the coding interview to the working on they gave me a task to do a project to work on, and then we went over to the Skype interview. And after that, just checked my mail and I saw the success email. So I think it took about 3 to 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. That was last year, so yeah.
Awesome. And you've been there now for over a year or about a year?
A year, 2 months.
Awesome. Well, that's great. So what does your typical day look like now?
I just go to work on stuff at the office, and then come back. And I actually, I'll say I have a very boring. After work, I also just either write tutorials or program or learn about one new thing or something like that. So it's just basically, it's just the usual 8 codes, you know. Yeah,
but that's really, I mean, it's amazing that you started when you were, 11 years old, and now you're 19. So you've been doing programming for 8 years. And how long have you been doing Android development specifically?
I'll say I've been doing Android for 4 years, but professionally, I'll say when I started, it was just a hobby or something. So I wasn't, I still had school to deal with and all that. So I did start play or professionally. That was, it was 2015. That was 3 years ago.
So it still blows me away that you're, 19 years old. You have, like, the world in front of you and tons of, your entire 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s right in front of you. What are your plans for the future? Like, do you see yourself continuing with Android development, or is there maybe another, like, area you'd like to explore?
Okay, there are several areas I'd like to explore. Sometimes I wish I could just split myself into three and work on different things. So I am taking a course on AI, machine learning, and all this cool stuff that just happened to be the trending stuff around. So I actually have some hardware experience too. So I've worked with Arduinos and all that. So I'm somehow into the IoT thing. So I have several things I would love to do if I had much more time. But currently, apart from Android, I'm actually learning some backend stack developer. So I'm learning the main stack, and the thing is called main stack. That's with an R for React. So I'm learning just trying to learn as much as I can, but there's just several things to keep up with. I also intend going back to school this year, and hopefully I get into a university this year, because that's my number one plan for this year is to get into school and study computer science. I'm fascinated about not just the program, the theoretical aspect of that's computer science. So I think, or I believe, going to college will be would be beneficial for me than just being just the programmer. I also want to be a computer scientist. So, yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, you didn't, I didn't even ask that, but you haven't even gone to university, obviously. You're saying that's one of your big plans for the future. That's really awesome. So, are you planning on staying in Nigeria?
I'm going to be back, but I intend, so I'll be sending, I have some schools in mind that I'll be writing a couple of exams this coming month. The TOEFL and SAT to write and all these other exams. So I plan on studying abroad and then coming back over to Nigeria. Yeah.
So sorry, the two tests you said. Did you say the TOEFL, that like for English, right?
Yes.
And then the SAT, like you mean SATs?
Yeah, SAT.
Okay. Yeah, that's very popular in the United States. Like all high school kids before going to college will take the SAT. Anyhow, okay, that's really awesome. So how long have you not been in school for then? Like how long have you not been in, I know you don't call it high school in Nigeria, but secondary school or whatever you call it.
Yeah, I graduated, that was 2015, middle of 2015, June.
Oh, wow. So you haven't been in school for a few years.
I was at Oda City.
So wait, so you haven't been in school then for a few years. Okay, so I didn't connect all those dots. And you've just been working and now you're attempting to go back to college like next year or something. Okay, that's really cool. So you just mentioned Udacity and Treehouse. Are there any other recommendations for places to learn that you use that you thought were really helpful?
Okay, I think top of the list would be Udacity. There's lots of really good content, and a few of them are, or a good number of them are free. And then if you're interested, which I'm using to learn JavaScript and some JavaScript and some other web stuff. And then I think there's Codecademy. That's also awesome. They have several free courses. It's very interactive using it, so you just practice what you've learned immediately. So I think the top three on my list.
Okay, awesome. So to repeat, those were Udacity,
Free Code Camp, and Code Academy.
Okay, Udacity, Free Code Camp, Code Academy. Awesome. I think most of the listeners are already familiar with those, but we'll definitely include links to the show notes. Well, thank you so much, Elvis, for coming on the show and sharing how you got started in Android development and your plans for the future. It was really great talking with you. Lastly, where can people find you online?
Okay, my Twitter handle is Elvis N Chidera. So that's Elvis and N and then Chidera, Chidera. Also on Facebook, that's Elvis.Chidera. Elvis.Chidera. And on Medium, same thing, at Elvis Chidera. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode and are interested in learning how to code, there's no better way to start than by learning HTML. I've put together an introductory cheat sheet that you might like to use if you're learning HTML. It covers HTML tags and how they're used, proper HTML5 layout structure, aka the right way to set up your HTML files, a list of outdated HTML tags you don't need to use anymore, and lots more. If it sounds like something that could be useful to you, download your free copy at learntocodewith.me/HTML. It was great to have you with me on the Learn to Code with Me podcast today. I'll see you next time.